Hello and welcome to the KPFK LSB Finance Committee meeting. Today is June 10th. We had an election for chair last month, and I'm the new chair. My name is Kim Kaufman. I'm going to take the role now. Grace Aaron?
Here.
Ken Aaron?
Here.
Alan Beek?
Here.
Fred Blair?
Present.
Bella DeSoto?
Present.
Dave Johnson?
I'm here.
Steve Kaiser?
Here.
I'm Kim Kaufman. I am here. Michelle Manos? Michael Novick?
Present.
Janine Roan? Paulina Vasiliev?
Present.
John Wenger?
Here.
And I believe Barry Brooks is a business manager, is on as well. Correct, Barry? You still on?
Yeah, present.
Okay, thank you. All right. So can I get a motion to approve the agenda?
And so moved.
I'm going to read it for the stream. I'll do it quickly. Approve agenda, announcement of next meeting, report from GM and or BM, business manager or development director, review April FY20 P&L, discussion of FY2020 budget, motion from me, which reads, the KPFK Finance Committee requests from management, one, a first draft 2020 budget not later than 2 days before the next KPFK Finance Committee, July 8th. The budget must use the Pacifica budget template. Three, all revenue must be based on historical data, including in the budget's fund drive chart for the per-day average assumption. Four, the expenses shall be cut to accommodate projected revenue based on current reality in order to provide a balanced budget. Five, along with the budget, we request a list of all paid employees and their job titles and duties for all union, management, non-union, full and part-time personnel, including any full or part-time person employees that are in the consultant's line item in the GL or any other GL categories, i.e. programming, development, or community events. For all part-time union and non-union workers, the list should include hours worked per month, approximate, or average. Number seven, Fred, report from the NFC. Eight, another motion from me. The Finance Committee approved the following motion at the May 13th Finance Committee. Request for a fund drive chart from management for the rest of the year and a plan for how to pay the expenses for the rest of the year. The LSB approved the motion at the May 17th LSB meeting, and the GM said he would comply with it. The GM has not yet complied with it. The Finance Committee recommends the KPFK LSB take note of this noncompliance and handle it accordingly. Number nine, approved minutes or notes from last meeting. And number 10 is a very long, complicated motion from Alan Zeke. I will not read it until we get there. Any amendments or suggestions, changes?
Bella, to the staff.
Go ahead.
I sent a revised agenda lineup. That reads more comprehensively. It is in your inboxes. We may or may not adopt it now, but it makes more sense. There were several, everything was left the item numbers changed because I consolidated some items that were germane to each other. So the item lineup was cut down by two or three, but the language all remains intact, just as some things were moved around. And we need to also include, move up, approve the minutes to the very top, and I found it somewhere in line nine or eight. So it's in your inboxes. So you might want to pull it up now so we don't spend a lot of time.
No, I don't want to pull it up, and I'm not going to pull it up, number one. Number two, I reviewed, oh, shit, there's blow drying outside. I hope nobody can hear it. I reviewed Robert's Rules, and it said that for committees, it is advisable for the chair to be the secretary, so I will be the secretary. So
oh, great.
The reason the minutes are at the end is because we're only going to be reviewing Alan's notes, and I put them there. If you want to make a motion to put it up, we can argue it and let everybody decide. So
yeah,
have you made a motion?
I hope that we can dispense of that earlier on so it doesn't take up the time that we normally spend on.
Okay, can we get two people to argue pro and con? And I'm going to vote against this. I'm to leave it where it is. So can I get two people to weigh in, and then we'll take a vote?
I have no interest in changing the last straw poll on the agenda that you read.
No, you said you have no interest? Is that what you said?
I have no interest in changing the agenda.
Okay.
I think.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so let's vote on Bella's whatever it is. Okay, or is there other than, well, okay, Bella's going to object, so Grace, how do you vote on? Pardon me?
I didn't get a copy of the agenda. This is Barry.
Who's this?
Barry.
Barry, can somebody send it to Barry, please?
Oh, sure.
I'll do it.
Thank you.
Kim, I'll do it.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay, so how do we vote on Bella's amendment? Grace?
What is the amendment?
To move up the minutes, approving the minutes to the top of the agenda.
Okay, Grace, how do you vote?
Abstain.
A vote to approve the amendment that has been agenda that has been offered.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
I wish to object.
Okay, Kim Aaron, how do you vote?
I wish to object to the agenda. She has omitted a motion which I have submitted to the whole team.
No, I put it on there, Alan. I just said it's long and complicated, and I wasn't going to read it until we got there. It's on the agenda, Alan.
Okay, this is
Excuse me? He doesn't know. He does not understand.
The continual down hall motion, is that on?
He has no clue what's going on.
Alan, I don't know what you're talking about.
I sent around a motion that we recommend a continual down hall to the LSD.
Alan, stop. Alan, stop. We're in the middle of a vote. You can take it up after we finish this vote. How do you vote?
But we can't vote until we know what we're voting on.
We're voting on Bella's motion to move the agenda,
the minutes.
Object to the agenda because there's an omission from it.
Okay, I'll put you down for no. Ken Aaron, how do you vote?
Did you call? This is Ken Aaron. I'm opposed to the amendment. No on the amendment.
Okay. Fred Blair, how do you vote?
No on the amendment.
Okay. Bella DeSoto.
No. Yes.
Okay. Dave Johnson.
No.
Steve Kaiser.
No.
Kim Kaufman votes no. Michelle Manos is not here. Michael Novick.
No.
Janine Roan, not here. Paulina.
Epstein.
John Wenger.
No.
Okay, so we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 no, 1 yes, and 2 abstain. Okay, so Alan... it's up to you now. What is your issue with the agenda?
Ellen Beach, it's your turn.
I have submitted to everybody a motion asking that we recommend a continual town hall to the LSB.
Yes.
That motion did not appear on the agenda. It should be
That's
on the
correct.
Agenda.
No, it should not. It belongs in governance. I ruled it out of order.
Is it on the agenda somewhere?
No, it is not.
Well, it should be because I submitted it.
Thank you.
Okay.
This is Ken for the
staff. Put it on. Pardon me?
Ken for the staff.
Go ahead, Ken.
I support the ruling of the chair. It's absolutely off. It's not part of the finance committee. And I move that we accept the agenda as submitted.
Okay, let's take a vote on it. Or do we want to vote on, okay, we're voting on two things. One, to approve the agenda, and two, to uphold the chair that Alan's motion does not belong on the agenda.
And tell the body what the agenda, what the motion was.
The continual town hall.
There you go.
Okay, so we're taking a vote on this.
If you don't want the motion about the town hall, the thing to do is to vote no on it when it comes up. But it should not be removed
from
the agenda arbitrarily.
Alan, we're voting on whether it goes on the agenda. Alan, we're voting on whether it goes in the agenda. I believe it goes in governance. End of story. We're taking a vote. Grace, how do you vote?
Am I voting on two things or one thing?
We're voting on Alan's town hall motion to put it on the agenda or not.
Abstain.
Kim Aaron, how do you vote?
No change to agenda.
Alan Beek, how do you vote?
Yes.
Fred Blair, how do you vote?
No.
Bella DeSoto?
No.
Dave Johnson?
No.
Steve Kaiser?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Tim Kaufman votes no. Michelle Manos is not here. Michael Novick?
No.
Janine Rome is not here. Paulina?
Is that door closed over there? No,
the window. Paulina votes no. Somebody.
And John Wenger?
No.
Okay, so we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 no, 2 yes, and 1 abstain. So that fails. Now, can we approve the agenda as written?
Current.
Can I ask a quick question? I asked you if we could discuss the development task force that Nancy Sorden is developing, and Michael's heading that effort here. Michael Novick, do you think that we should talk about the development task force?
This is out of order. This is no. out of order. This
not
does
yet.
Not belong to the finance committee.
Bella, be quiet. I will handle this. Steve?
Yeah, I'm done. Go ahead.
I already suggested it go to governance. We'll have to vote on it.
I don't think it's pertinent either.
Michael, what'd you say?
I don't think it's pertinent. We need to deal with the actual financial figures we have in front of us. That's the main business. Let's get to it, please.
Okay, that's fine. I withdraw the inclination then. Never mind.
Okay, so are there any objections to approving the agenda as is? No. Okay, great. Thank you very much. So next is just an announcement. The next meeting is July 8th at 4 p.m. via Maestro. There's a possibility that Christine Blasdale may be available for a meeting. We've asked her. She wasn't available today. I asked her for alternate times.
Kim?
So, yes.
I see Christine's name on the control panel, so she must be present.
I don't know. I saw it too, but she hasn't said anything. I asked, and I don't know if they're marked correctly or not. So unless
she might have muted herself. She might be there and muted.
Well, I mean, that's okay, but I asked if she was on the call, and I didn't hear anything. She's not muted on this end, as far as I can tell.
She said she had a previous appointment, so I think we should...
I'm well aware of that.
Okay.
I'm well aware of that, so I don't know.
Well,
anyway,
here's the thought.
Moving on.
Maybe just wait a little bit on that.
No.
If she's available,
no,
I think we'd like to talk to her. Okay.
That's fine. If she's here, she'll speak up, and we can talk with her. Meanwhile,
okay.
We have number four, report from Barry Brooks, the business manager. Go ahead, Barry.
Okay. Can everybody hear me?
Yeah. Assume yes.
Yes,
okay.
Please.
Yeah.
Okay, I sent Kim a summary of my report. Currently,
can you speak up, please?
Okay, currently KPFK's operating administration account is at $72,887.07.
Kim, I cannot hear him.
Yeah, it's a little tough, Barry. Fred, can you turn him up a little?
I'll try.
Okay.
And Barry, can you adjust the volume on your phone up?
John, let the chair control the meeting.
Well, I'm just supplementing.
Okay, so let me repeat it. The operating account balance today at June 10th is $72,887.07. We are expecting an additional deposit of $22,500 on June 22nd from the February 2020 Fund Drive residuals, website, and online donations. The APFK savings account balance is at $1,066.21. Our current fund drive started on May 19th and is projected to end on June 20th, depending upon the fundraising performance. KPFK fund projected goal is $600,000. The station has raised to date
$128,845.53. I can't understand what's being said. Put it in writing, please.
It is in writing, Alan, and I sent it to you. Look in your inbox.
It is in writing. So it's all in writing.
I sent it out
to everyone, Alan. It's in your email. Please go ahead, Barry. Sorry for the interruption.
Okay. KPFK has paid its health benefits for June 2020, and we are going to meet our payroll obligation for June 15, 2020 on time. KPFK has paid its premium obligations from the Winter Fund Drive in full, except for a couple of premiums that we haven't paid because of the cash flow problem. But Protec, Inc., and Boku International were some of the ones that were paid for that needed to be paid. They had been waiting for quite some time to get their money. KPFK's pension retirement plan is current and is being paid on a quarterly basis. I just want to make a comment about the COVID coronavirus has proven to be a damper on the fundraising activities of the station and will continue to hamper the station's cash flow projection until the stay-at-home quarantine is lifted and people are allowed to return to work. Now, Kim had asked me to give some type of projection on KPFK Central Services fees that are in arrears. I gave her the schedule there. In 2015, we have not paid central services totaling $257,803 for 2015. 2016 is a little better. We hadn't paid $110,487.
If this is submitted by email, why are we going through this business of listening to something incomprehensible?
It's not incomprehensible to the rest, and it's for the stream, Alan.
It is incomprehensible to me, and you said
Alan,
it in
you
writing,
received it.
So why do we
Alan,
go through it?
Alan, you received it. Alan, check your email. You received this by email. He's reading it for the stream. Please be quiet and let him finish.
If we're going to get it by email, why try to get it orally?
Alan,
he's reading it for the stream.
Yes, and Alan, if you, I'm going to have to mute you, Alan, because you're interrupting. Please check your email and let Barry continue.
Alan?
Go ahead, Barry. Sorry.
Alan, this was sent an hour and a half ago via email. Go ahead.
Okay, for the year 2019, we have one payment that's due for $36,829, and for the year 2020, we have four payments that we have not paid, which totals $147,316. So that's the total amount breakout for the central services that KPFK has not paid. KPFK outstanding payable balance with the Pacifica Radio Archives is approximately $2,500. And KPFK owes the affiliates office $34,196.53 for a payroll that wasn't totally funded on the April 15th, 2020 payroll. But we are we're in the plans of paying that off sometime next week, depending upon what our balance is and how much fundraising that we get. The next section has to do with Pacifica Foundation's non-compliance with the community service grant eligibility requirements. And CPB has removed the licensing and all of the stations from the CSG program. And as of the termination date, which was May 23rd, licensing and stations are no longer covered by the music licensing agreement that CPB negotiates and pays for on behalf of the public media. And then as a result, Pacifica Foundation owes $137,506 in CSG overpayments, of which KPFK owes approximately $41,957. In order for KPFK to continue streaming music online and downloading music on demand, they're going to have to pay the National Federation of Community Broadcasters, which is NFCB, an annual fee of $3,275 to comply with the music broadcast. So we have to come up with between now and June 23rd, $41,957, which is kind of a leap for us at this particular time and with our current situation, but hopefully we can do it. That ends my report for the Finance Committee, for the Administration and Finance Department.
All right, I'll take a stack.
Bella to the stack.
Steve Kaiser on the stack, please.
Fred on the stack.
Okay, I'll put myself on, you know, unless anybody else wants to go in front of me. Okay, Bella, go ahead.
Yes, I noticed at the beginning it was hard to understand Barry. I could not hear him well at all, very faint, very far away. Now I can. I noticed that he gave more description in his verbal recitation than it is on the report itself. So just as I began following, I had to include some things here to make sense of what he sent. In the meantime, all the reports that came in recently did not afford me the time necessary to go over the numbers. So from the top, I am going to ask Barry, all these numbers that are pending for payment are the very numbers that need to be recorded on the accounts payable aging report. Have they been accounted for in that report? Even though I saved all the reports, I have not had the opportunity to open them yet and study them.
Barry, do you want to respond?
Yeah, as far as having all those expenditures appear on the accounts payable agent report, we don't have an entry that we make for the central services payments since I've been here to report that, you know, the missing central services payments. So that has never been logged in there.
I need to respond to that, Kim, if I can clarify. The way to record everything that is external that pertains to allocation per unit has to be made via a journal entry. And that's how you record everything that does not have a physical bill that comes directly to KPFK. That is how you make entries into the Great Plains so that the general ledger can then spew out, produce an accurate accounts payable report. Barry, do you understand that?
No, Bella, and don't try to train me on how to do a journal entry. I know how to do a journal entry. I know how to do reporting. We do not record intercompany expenditures such as central services in the accounts receivable aging report. The aging report is only garnered for outside vendors that we deal with.
It is an accounts payable, not accounts receivable report.
Bella, this is off topic. Can you
what
please?
What is off topic?
We're an not telling Barry how report? To. This is not a bookkeeping seminar. Can we move on, please? Steve Kaiser, you're next.
Barry, you mentioned that we owe $41,957 in order to continue streaming and downloading music. So let's assume we can't come up with nearly $42,000, seeing we're so strapped for funds. How is this going to impact us? What are we downloading in the way of music, and what are we streaming? Do you have any idea that you can talk along those lines?
No, but I know that if we pay that initial $3,275 to the NFCB, we will be able to continue to do online demand music and streaming at KPFK.
Can we liquidate
that? We have to pay that fee, and then we also have to pay the, you know, those payments, those overpayments of $41,957.
You can pay that time
in installments. Yeah, we possibly can do that. We're trying to work with that with the CPB to see if we can do that.
Okay, and if we can't, how would this impact us? What would it do? Would it impact the music that we're playing, particularly on the weekends? What's the impact of this? Any idea?
No, you would have they would give you a restriction on how much music you could actually, you know, play. I don't even think you could do on demand. So our streaming, you wouldn't be able to do streaming online and downloading on demand.
Is that what we provide to listeners, that they can contact us and stream our music? Is
correct. Online, exactly.
Okay, would Maggie LaPique be a better person to talk to about about this?
You might want to talk to her or Danielle, because I think he's in negotiation with CPB on the payment. And also Lydia is also in negotiation with him. So.
Okay, thank you.
But, I'm hearing nothing but silence. Is the meeting still going on?
Yes, Alan. Fred, you're next.
Paulina's with us.
Okay.
Okay. Just a note for you, Kim. It looks like Bill has fallen off the conference call. I don't see her on the screen. In any case, Barry, this goes to the P&L, consolidated P&L that I sent to Kim, and I think she sent out to the committee a couple of days ago. From Nita.
Please mute whoever. Yeah, go ahead, Fred.
Okay, so I was wondering about payroll. My questions have to do with payroll. You get the payroll numbers from Nita, is that correct? And you send that includes the amount for payroll plus the amount for the federal and state taxes. Is that correct? You get that on every payroll period?
That's correct. Yes. Uh-huh.
And you send a, Nita a check for the payroll. Is that correct?
When, no,
you get
it's
that
a wire.
Information.
It's not a check. It's a wire.
Okay, you wire it to them. Does that wire transfer include the federal and state payroll taxes?
Yeah, uh-huh. When we have to pay our payroll tax on a quarterly basis, that is embedded in there, yes.
Yeah, but, I mean, do you pay the payroll taxes every payroll to NIDA, and they then put those tax money into a escrow account to be paid on a quarterly basis?
That's correct. Uh-huh.
So the payroll is payroll is completely paid up from March to the present. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
We owe the NO.
I think we just lost Alan also on the conference.
All right, I'll call back.
Okay. My question is, I'm hearing an echo to myself, so it's kind of threw me off. Barry, are you paying anything in addition beyond payroll at this point in time from March to the present?
Well, we're paying health benefits for the employees of KPFK.
Okay, but that's part of payroll. I mean, I assume that's paid for separately.
That's separately, yes. Uh-huh. Yes.
Okay, but are you paying anything beyond healthcare benefits in terms of our?
Well, I can say this. I can say this, Fred. Under the payroll, we also pay independent contractors for their time at the station. So that does go into payroll too.
Okay. What I'm asking about is if we're paying any other expenses beyond payroll, like utility bills, any of the utility bills, or any other expenses.
Yeah, uh-huh. We pay utility bills. We pay phone bills. We pay premiums. We pay central services for the PRA. We pay. There's a number of things that we pay for. Yeah, in addition to that. We pay for the signal at Saddle Peak, which is over there by Santa Barbara. We pay the signal in San Diego. We pay a number of bills.
I understand. My understanding was that you got a number of the major, I'm not sure what the word for it is, the people that we owe bills to. To postpone that for a couple of months during this COVID crisis,
That's correct. Some of the bills I have talked with the companies to have them defer 2 to 3 weeks down the road, until our cash flow presents itself where I can make payments for them.
Okay.
So yeah, for example, the Southern California Edison bill, which is a large amount, I have deferred to the end of the month.
Thank you. So I'm just trying to determine how much additional expenses beyond payroll we're paying on a monthly basis at this time. Do you have a total quantity?
Yeah, I sent Kim and you a copy of the accounts payable listing that all the people that we do pay.
I tried opening
in addition to payroll.
Yeah, I just got those spreadsheets. I just got those about an hour and a half ago, and I'm having problems. I've opened up those documents, but I can't. The account aging is a jumble, and I just can't read it properly. That's all.
Okay.
I'm finished. That finishes my question.
Okay, well, you know what, Fred? Tomorrow I'll send you the format that I usually send it in for the accounts payable agent so you can read it better.
Thank you.
Yep. All right. I'm going to go next. I want to make a little correction about the money owed CPB and the streaming. They're two separate issues. One is the money that we owe CPB for the past, And the other is paying MFCB now to transfer the CPB streaming accounting with MFCB. So those are two separate issues. They're not related. It seems to me you ought to be able to come up with the $3,200 in order to get that streaming. No?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Kim, that check would probably go out either Friday or Monday.
Okay. And one other thing is that, then the deferred payments are not on the accounts payable, so we don't really have a good idea of what's owed, correct?
Well, the payments are on there. Like, I have entered, like, if you had the invoice appear in a current month, it does get expensed for that month, so you will see it on the accounts payable aging report. That one bill for Southern California Edison is not on there yet, but I will enter that in on the Great Plains Journal Ledger tomorrow, so you will be able to see that for $7,000.
Okay, Paulina?
Yeah, thank you, Kim. Barry, thank you for being here. I have a question about something that I heard from our CFO, Anita Sims, or ICFO, on the National Finance Committee yesterday. Can you hear me? Somebody needs to
mute. Yes, I can hear you.
Somebody needs to mute. Thank you.
Our ICFO stated that bank access to bank statements are not being provided to NETA. Do you know if that's the case for KPFK? I believe that statement was made.
You speak up, Pauline. I can't hear you.
Oh yeah, sorry. Okay, let me try. Let me see if that's better. I'll try to project some more. I'm asking about access for our accountants for NETA. Providing access to bank statements, access to the actual bank account numbers, not to extract anything, but to view only. I believe that was a motion that was made on the National Finance Committee yesterday. Can you say something to as to whether KPFK is providing access to bank statements to NETA? They seem to need it for the audit as well, just access to our reserve accounts.
Let me just clarify.
Please.
There are two things, Paulina. One are the bank statements, and then one is being able to go in and view the accounts on a daily basis. There are two separate things. Apparently, they are getting the bank statements, but they're not able to view the bank accounts on a daily basis or when they need to.
Right. That's where I was going. I appreciate your clarification. That's what I meant. I was talking about the last. Somebody
needs to mute.
Barry, I think that's you.
And
I'm
I have
sorry.
Another question afterwards. I'll go one by one. Barry, would you mind answering that one? Access to
she's
daily,
asking you about Nita's access to viewing the bank accounts, which she claims she does not have access to.
Right.
Okay,
Nita,
yeah.
NETA
has access to all our bank accounts. Okay, they have access to all the accounts that we have because of the audit. And anytime that they request a bank statement or anything like that, I usually send it to Tamara or George, depending upon what it pertains to.
Okay.
Clarification. So just like Kim was clarifying just a second ago, I was not referring to the bank statements. I know that those are being sent to NETA, but I am talking about they requested access to daily to be able to view what's going on with our bank accounts. And that's not for the audit. I would probably say that's for just for our daily operations, and I wanted your opinion on that and where we stand.
Oh, yeah.
Granting access to NETA to actually being able to view, not manipulate or operate, but view our banking activity on a daily basis.
Yeah. I don't know if you were here, Paulina, but I think back in, I think maybe December or January, I made a recommendation to the Finance Committee meeting that we should be able to have power to have access to our own bank account without anybody having the power to do what they want to our bank account, which NETA has the power to do. And that which happened, which in enough, well, a month later, we incurred a fraudulent bank wire that went out of our bank account for $45,000. Okay? So that happened. And I was totally against it because we should be in control of our own destiny, our own funds, and as far as where we should put our money and everything. And NETA should not be having that kind of power, but they do. I think the National Board went ahead and voted that they would have the power to do that. So they have access to all our accounts.
Well,
they can do whatever they want.
They should have the liability for paying out excess funds then also.
Exactly. And they, you know what? What happened was, of the $45,000 that we lost, we got all the money back through an insurance and the recovery of the money, of the funds, but we did not recover $5,000 of it because of our contract with the insurance.
Deductible limitation of $5,000.
Deductible, right. The deductible was $5,000. So we were left $5,000. We ate $5,000. And I told Tamara that they should pay us that $5,000.
Yeah, we should
be getting that money back.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Kim.
Okay.
I had one more question. Madam
Chair. Regarding this issue, I think, Paulina, you need to take it to the NFC and to the ICFO. We're not going to get what we need to get here. Is that okay?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I don't need to continue a discussion on this. And I believe that what we just heard from Barry, it's more confusing than anything because, what you're talking about this fraudulent transfer and the insurance covering.
Which has nothing to do with what neither.
Yeah. Right, it's a different issue. So I'll figure it out at the NFC level. No worries. I appreciate it. Thank you, Barry.
Go ahead.
Different question. Thank you. I'll continue and I'll be brief. I think I have two more things that I need to ask about. The next one is, you said that independent contractors, that goes into payroll. And I understand is that standard practice? Because if we are not making, say, payroll, then...
Let me just clarify that independent contractors are paid separately out of our operating account. It doesn't really, it's not included in our payroll for the employees of the station. Those people that are independent contractors are paid by check out of the operating admin account. It's not included in the actual payroll funding amount.
Makes sense to me. Now, the follow-up would be the following. Payroll has to be our number one priority among keeping the lights on so that we, keep operating. Now, how do you determine other priorities as far as, let's say, that you're short on, you can't pay all your bills? Where are independent contractors on this list of priorities? Because I know that, especially in fund drives, that number, the amount of money that we have to pay to independent contractors or decide to pay to independent contractors to advise us on how to do a great, 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 fund drive goes up, substantially. And so do you honor those before you say, are you honor central services? Or like, well, what's the formula? How do you decide how the checks go out?
Okay.
And very quickly, before I let you answer that, and this is connected, I just wanted to comment that for the context on this question that I asked, we are in fund drive, but we're not in full fund drive mode in the sense of the way we used to do it previously, very few shows are doing full-time pitching. Many shows do, you know, content and pitch around that content. You know, every show is required to pitch at least 3 times during an hour, and we're doing that. But of course, it's a slower fund drive because we're not constantly, it's not necessarily in full swing. So I'm just curious what you know about that in connection with independent contractors that are contracted for the fund drive. Thank you.
Okay, so usually, as far as paying the vendors that I've had to pay for under these particular circumstances under COVID-19, the first and foremost is our payroll. That comes first, and then our health benefits comes first, too. Those two items have to be paid in order to survive. The next item that get paid that are kind of high on the hierarchy is the electrical usage of the station, the signal that we have at Mount Wilson, which we have to pay for that generator to keep the IT house up there cool. We have to pay that. That has to be the number one priority. So those particular bills get paid first. As far as the independent contractors, they get paid kind of, they're kind of last, basically. When the fund drive ends, that's when they get paid. And so if an independent contractor or programmer comes in and does some work for under the auspices of the fund drive, then at the end of the fund drive, when everything is ended, then that's when they get paid, if there is enough money to give them their money. So that's why that aging report has fluctuated so much, because a lot of that, those expenditures have been entered into the Great Plains system, but they have not been paid. So they're on an aging part. Mm-hmm. And then as the money comes in, we pay them.
So very, very brief follow-up, and I'll be done. I apologize for hogging this much time. Are there any people who are, of course, don't name any names, but are there any employees that are on the actual payroll who are also getting contracted, independent contractors?
Not that I know of. Not on the payroll, no.
So no one on the payroll is getting
there are programmers that are part-time, but they are included in the payroll register, so they are not independent contractors. Independent contractors are someone who does work as a programmer or other seniority position that's not part of the payroll register.
Right.
So they're not getting paid health benefits or vacation time, sick leave, or anything like that. They're just independent contractor.
Mm-hmm. So nobody is doubling, getting both, you know, being on the
double payroll, dipping. No, that's not happening.
Okay, thank you.
Dave for the stack.
Bell up to the stack, Earl. Bell, you've already been on one, so I'm going to let all the people who haven't spoken speak first. Go ahead, Dave. Dave? Hello?
Dave Johnson,
he just fell off.
He's not here.
He'll have to.
Who's speaking?
Looks like he. This is Kim. Looks like he fell off. So we'll put him on the stack when he gets back on. Anybody else? Bella. Okay. Go ahead, Bella.
Yes. Thank you. Earlier on, we were discussing accounts payable. That went nowhere, which is critical. This is no wonder we never get an accurate picture of how much we owe monthly. Now we're moving on to an area that I was also going to cover, and Paulina brought it up. Regarding consultation, regarding outside labor, outside contractors, these people get a 1099 at the end of the year. They cannot be on payroll. However, the only item on the P&L is number 6300 to 6305. And that's where the consultants and temps get allocated. Now, in that area, is where we also need to get to scrutinize who is in that category. And I recall that Kim was asking for that in one of her motions. We need to get a clarity on that. So when the business manager earlier, I don't know why, said that the outside contractors are also part of payroll, that would be impossible because they cannot be on salary. But I'm glad that we clarified.
I never said that they're part of payroll, Bella. I told you that it gets put into our total payroll expense for the company. It's two separate items. One is independent contractors. The other is payroll for the station. They're two different things, but they get rolled up into the total salary expense for the company.
No, that cannot be. Oh,
Bella?
Excuse me. Are you referring, Barry, not on the P&L? Are you referring to the consolidated?
I'm referring to the personnel cost, Bella. That's where it gets added into there, the total personnel cost.
Thank you. Thank you. Personnel cost does pick up outside services. Absolutely. Thank you very much, because that was a confusion earlier on. And on the audits, when you go look at the audits, the personnel cost picks that up as well, which is why it's very difficult to separate the two. Okay. Now, what I am concerned about
is
that
Dave is back on. Dave is... Do you have a question, Bella? Because we need to move on.
I have the floor. You gave me the floor until I finish.
Right.
Thank you. So on 6300 to 6305, you have consultants and temps. Now, consultants get a 1099 and so do temps. But I feel that they must be separated because consultants are for a longer period of time. They have different terms than temps. We need to know what those two are. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Dave's
okay,
back.
Dave, I see you're back.
Yes, thanks. Barry, question. You said you have two vendors that you haven't paid. Can you tell us how much the amounts are and how long it's been, how past due we are on those two vendors from the Fund Drive vendors?
Okay. The one is Southern California Edison. We owe that $7,258. It was due on June the 10th, I believe, today. So that got pushed back to June 30th. And then there's a couple of premiums that we haven't paid that I'm holding on to. I wrote the check, but I'm holding on to them. Hold on a minute here. I can find it. Yeah, it is. Okay, one is Claris International. That was for $2,500, I believe it was. The other one is North American Herb and Spice. That is for $3,500. And then Forest Incentives was for, I think, $497. Payment Solutions was $1,200. And then Telerep was $1,247. So those are the ones that we have not paid, that has not been paid out yet, because I'm waiting to pay the payroll first, and then once the June 15th payroll is paid, then I can pay these people here.
Sure. Can you remind me who Telerep is?
That is the telephone service that we utilize during fund drives when people call in and no one can answer. It's kind of like an overage. It rolls into them so they can still handle the call.
And can you tell us how much per minute or how they are charging us?
I believe it's 50 cents per call, regardless of the time you utilize.
Okay, thank you. And on your report to it, you mentioned that we're 4 months in arrears on the central service payments, which came out to $147,316. Is it safe to assume by your report that that does not include a central service payment for June? And will we be able to make a central service payment in June?
Okay. That 147, 3, that does include June. Okay. So that 147,316 includes June. And okay. the way it is that we have to pay that CPB of $41,000, I don't know how we can squeeze that in there. So I don't know. That's difficult.
Well, I guess a clarification there. And on the fund drive, now I noticed you mentioned that we've raised $128,845 in about 22 days. So that's averaging about $5,856 per day.
Yeah.
And and in this fund drive, your report also states that we're going to be going about another 10 days on this fund drive. So if you add in that amount of money, 10 days times, say, $5,800, if we're going to average that, that'll give us a total of something like $187,000.
Yeah.
You mentioned we have another $22,000 that's coming in. So that would give us a total of about $209,410. And in light of the fact that it costs $300,000 a month to run the station and that the goal was $650,000, which it looks like we're now going to be about $400,000 short, I was wondering if the GM has described any plan to make up the difference or what the plan is to be able to pay our bills and do this payroll work, like you said. And we know that the payroll costs are over 50% of our monthly expenses. So is there a plan to keep this station going?
Dave, he has mentioned a couple of plans to me, but he said that he was going to reveal those plans at the LSB meeting on Sunday. So you'll have to hear from him about that, about the plans. He said that he's going to change the programming a little bit. And then I also made a recommendation that we not sell so many premiums and we do more community-based programming, so to try to attract more listeners.
Somebody answer their phone.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you for that, Barry. I'm a little startled to see that we're going to be about 400. If he ends the drive when it's mentioned on your report, which will
well, he did say that if we're kind of below or what our target, way below where our target is going to be, he would extend the drive a little bit more.
The schedule, which will be about a 30-day fund drive, and it looks like we're going to end up, if he did finish on the 20th, which, as you mentioned, he probably will extend a little bit, but if he did end on the 20th, we'd be over $400,000 short of the $650,000 goal. And as we know, we get about a 80 to maybe 90% fulfillment rate, so we're going to be significantly short to make our $300,000 a month expenses for the station. So I hope that these programming changes and the things that he has in mind is going to have an immediate effect. And I was curious if you had any plans for any cuts. And it seems like with the payroll being over 50% of our expenses, I don't see how he can do this besides cutting these contractors, paying for the overnight manager in the phone room, and some of these other things. And I just was wondering, I guess we'll have to wait until the LSB meeting to see if we can get any further insight from what you've just said. Anyway, that was
okay. Also, Dave, I also need to let you know that he has proposed a 10% salary reduction in everybody that works at the station, but he has to get approval from the union before he can do that. So he had a meeting today with the union to discuss that possibility, and also if anyone wanted to take an early retirement or wanted to quit or the possibility of laying off two or three people. So those are the things that are in the works, but, of course, that has to be approved by the union first. So he did mention that, too.
Thank you, Barry.
Welcome.
Michael, to the stack.
Go ahead, Michael.
And
I think the other obvious place you can make cuts without needing union approval is in management. I basically wanted to ask Barry if you could stay on the call with us when we look at the national figures, and particularly the Pacifica Foundation financial narrative for April, which I found completely confusing. None of the numbers seem to add up. I was hoping you could stay on the call for a discussion of that.
Sure, I'll say, yeah.
It's next, right, Michael?
Thank you. It's the next item up, but I'm saying
okay.
As opposed to leaving.
Yeah, no, I want him. I'd like him here, too. Okay, are you done, Michael?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Anyone else?
Back to the staff.
Fred.
We need to move on. We've been longer than estimated on this time, so we need to move on. I don't know what to do because, you know, there's a committee. So, I mean, I don't know what to say because I have to let you talk. So can we make it very, very short? Excuse me, Steve?
You did the right thing. Let's move on.
Okay. I can't move to end discussion because this is a committee.
Okay.
So,
I moved.
I have
it,
Fred.
Fred here, but Kim, you've run out of time for the point four on the agenda. You need to move on to point five and take a new.
Okay.
And take a new stack for point five.
Okay, so the next issue is going over the agenda, going over the P&L. I'd like to start. I have some questions about the expenses, so I'd like to just ask a few questions here, and then I'll take a stack. Starting with the phone expense, do you have it there in front of you?
Are you talking about the P&L for April?
Yes.
Okay. What line item are you looking at?
59.
59 is total local board election expense?
No, it's telephones.
Oh, okay. Well, you're looking at the meta.
We don't have yours, Barry. We're looking at Nettis. You didn't send us yours.
Yeah, I did. I sent it to you today.
Okay, well, we had the Netta for 2 days, and we reviewed that, so that's what we'll be going on.
I did not review that.
Belle, you're not recognized.
When did you send
it? Belle, you're not recognized. So do you have Netta's open, Barry?
Yeah, you're talking about telephone expense?
Yes, I am.
You're talking for the month of April?
No, I'm talking about I'm talking about March and April, even February. Why have they increased largely?
For the telephone?
Yes, the telephone. Why is there an increase?
Thumb drive.
Can you get back to us on that?
Oh, yeah, I know why. It's fun, just like somebody said, it's fund drive. What happens is during the fund drive, we have to pay telerep for all those calls that roll over into them. And so
no, we don't,
that amounted
to
$3,000.
Development. Barry, that
what?
Goes down in development.
No, telerep, it gets booked in the telephone.
No, it doesn't.
Well, that's what I've been booking it to. And that's how it's been booked in the past.
Not really, if you look down on fundraising expenses. Okay, we'll clarify that later. I would like to know the next line, FedEx. So what happened in January that you had a $2,717 expense and the rest of the year is blank? What happened then?
Okay, what happens there with FedEx is that we have all these charges, you know, for courier services and what membership utilizes to send out products and everything. And so what happens is those invoices accumulate, and instead of paying each invoice like, you know, $35 here, $45 there, I let it accumulate. And then once it gets to a certain level, like $1,200 or $800, then that's what I pay. Instead of just having to waste the check.
You don't get a monthly invoice from FedEx?
I do via email, but they don't give me the total running balance. But then at the end of the month, they give me, they'll say, okay, Barry, KPFK owes $700 for the month. And that's when I'll go ahead and make the payment. And that's why you don't see it like that.
But then these expenses are not being accrued. monthly, so we don't know what. Okay, so they're not being accrued. Okay, the next one is 61, dues and periodicals. You've had the same amount of payments every month except for December and January. What happened there?
I don't know. It depends on when the invoice comes in. I can only book or accrue an expense that I receive. Sometimes expenses get lost in the mail, you know, and I have to call them. I say, well, you didn't get our payment, our invoice for this particular month, and they have to send me one because of the mail.
What are these for? What's in there? What are we paying dues and periodicals?
Hey, hold on. Is that under programming?
No, it's line 61.
Hey, hold on a minute. Let's see. Dues and periodicals. Okay, there it is.
It looks like a consistent monthly expense. Why are they missing two?
Okay, like I told you, maybe some of the invoices didn't get to me. You know, sometimes they miss them.
So we're in arrears for those 2 months.
No, we're not in arrears. We just didn't receive the invoice. I mean, we didn't incur any expense for that month. Probably, I don't know. I have to look into
that. Okay. Yeah. So line 65, we have insurance expense. We had one in October and none for the rest of the year. What's up with that?
Okay. We used to pay a liability insurance for that, for KPFK, and it expired, I believe. I think it was January it expired or something. I can't remember when it expired, but it expired. And then I called them to find out, you know, are we going to renew the contract with the insurance with them for our liability insurance? And they said that Meta was taking care of that. So Tamara is taking care of our liability insurance. Meta is.
Yeah. My understanding is this insurance is for earthquake insurance. And I would be very surprised to find out that Netta is handling it. I will inquire further. Thank you. Okay, what's going on with these travel expenses? What happened in April that we have only $20? Is that accrued to someone like Stuart?
Sometimes Christine, she sometimes stayed in a hotel to go to a seminar or something like that. So sometimes we book travel for her on that. Another time, Margaret Prescott took a trip to Haida Ray to do a story down there. And we picked up, I think, half the cost of going down there. And we picked up her. To Haida Ray.
I don't know what that word is. I'm not understanding it.
Dominican Republic? No, not Dominican Republic. I forget the name of it, but it'll come to me. But, yeah, she went down there for a story down in the Caribbean. Huh? Haiti, that's it. Mm-hmm. There we go. Haiti.
What?
She went to Haiti.
Haiti. Right. Okay. So what happened in April? We owe that money to Stewart.
Correct.
Okay. I mean, just curious, on line 70, computer supplies, there's zero, and we've had consistently, I don't know, you know, last year was like 12,000, usually it's about 20,000, it's just...
Well, I mean, Kim, under the current circumstances, we're not buying anything right now. We don't have any money.
Right, this is for the whole year to date.
Yeah, we don't have any money.
Okay. So what's up with the rent? The rental, 72. Rent, lease, and there seem to be some pretty big expenses. For December, January, and April, there's $6,200, and the rest is like $600.
Okay, rent, the lease agreement, it has to do with postage for penny boats. But we have to pay Pitney Bowes like $5,000 every quarter to lease that machine down there in the mail room. And then in addition to that, we lease
$7,000.
What's that?
It went up to about $7,000. No, $6,300.
Right.
Okay. And this is what we're supposed to be saving money on from postage?
Yeah, what happened was Pitney Bowes made a proposal to the station that we could save money by getting a newer machine, and because the machine would be directly connected to the post office, and they would give you a reduced rate on bulk rate packages. So that's supposed to save us money in the long term.
Uh-huh. So has it?
Yeah, it has. We are making not a lot of savings, but some savings, yes.
Okay. So on line 82, programming, so I'm assuming those two expenses there for ratings?
Programming? Or for ratings, you said?
82.
That's that RRC, the Nielsen ratings. We have to pay them.
Right.
We pay them quarterly.
So, quarterly. And last year, I can't figure out what was paid last year. It seems uneven. Certainly doesn't look like quarterly payments last year. Did it go up? What happened?
That's programming. That's that Nielsen expense we have to pay. $4,135.
Right, but last year is something different.
Well, something else probably went into there. I don't know. Are you making a complaint because of the $5,000 or what?
I'm just curious. Why, if we pay quarterly, last year's doesn't look like quarterly payments. Anyways, moving on. Moving on to credit card discount fees on line 92. Why the increase when our revenue is going significantly down? We have a bump in April, a big bump in January, and even March.
Yeah, that's the Braintree. We have credit card fees that we pay to Braintree, Stripe. We pay fees for them collecting our credit card payment. So we have to pay fees there. That's what that gets booked into right there.
It just seems high for the year, but we'll see how that goes. High for the year relative to not bringing in very much money. Okay, caging costs. There's nothing in March. What are these? I used to know what this is, but I don't know anymore.
That's part of, let's see, I don't know what that caging cost is. Let's see, caging cost. I think that has to do with premiums associated with that. So if I'm not familiar with that.
Okay. I'm almost done, people. Almost done. Postage mailing services. Are they just months we don't send out anything? Is that... Or what is this, postage mailing services? Because this is not postage for premiums. So what do we spend like $50,000 last year on, and over $20,000 now? What are these? What is postage mailing services in this line item?
Okay, well that's all the mailing. That's the postage that we have to pay for the Pitney Bowes machine. For all the premiums that go out and products and everything that we send out, That's what that is.
Well, wait, let me stop you right there.
And the machine. In the machine. Whenever we have to put more money on the machine, that gets put into that category.
Okay.
Sometimes we don't do that.
Okay.
Until the machine needs to be replenished.
Okay, so we're not able to determine how much is spent on premiums anymore, correct?
Premiums,
that's on line 100.
Yeah, that $6,750 is where all the premiums go, the premium expense.
You just said they went above.
No, I said that $6,732 is the postage and development mailing. That's all Pitney Bowes, putting money back on the machine, paying for postage. That's what all that gets put into right there. The premium, $6,750, are all the premiums that we pay for.
So then what's the next line? Printing, marketing, subscriptions, supplies. And then above, that's only $200. So this is another printing, marketing thing. It's little, but, I don't know what these are. Okay, so we got premium shipping. So it looks like we're not actually able to record how much we're spending on premium shipping, because that's only $1,200.
Remember that we pay for our check stock. We have to pay for check stock. We have to pay for, when Terry does some type of advertising and he has to pay quality mailing, that goes into that particular category. If we do a mass mailing or something like that, that's where that goes to.
On which line?
On 105, premium shipping.
No, actually, that should be the shipping of premiums. It gets included in the total cost of premiums. That's why it's important that the shipping for premiums go there, not other stuff.
That's right. It's different than the premiums. Premiums are actually product that we pay for.
I shipping understand has to that. There's a line item for that, Barry, and it's on...
It's right there.
It's
right there in front of you.
It's $199 is the premiums. And it looks
premium shipping.
Yes. We've spent $1,244 this year. That's not very much relative to spending $136,000. Anyways, I'm done. I just want to point out that there's a net deficit in community events. We spent $5,000 more than we brought in this year. Okay, I'd like to take a stack. Thank you for you all indulging me in going through this list. I really, really appreciate it. I'm ready for a stack.
Michael, to the stack.
Go ahead.
So my concern is really about why the NETA and ours have different lines for everything, and also just how they're reconciled between the two. My questions really have to do with the narrative they sent us, but it relates to what's in our document we just looked at. So the narrative, I assume you've seen it too, Pacifica Foundation Financial Narrative for April 2020. It talks about the difference in revenue and expenses this year over last year through the 2 years to date. So for KPFK, for example, it seems accurate in terms of what's in our document. It says that basically we took in $492,000 less in revenue overall, and $190,000 less in listener support. But then it says that for the foundation as a whole, it says total revenue year to date through April 2020 is $6.4 million versus $7.3 million. a decrease of $90,000. And total expenses year-to-date for the foundation as a whole is a decrease of $40,000. So the difference between total revenue year-to-date last year and total expenses should be $50,000. But it says, and this is probably more accurate, that actually total revenue by station declined by 10 times that much. So I just don't understand how they could come up with those two different sets of figures. And I don't know what that noise is coming from. But the profit and loss statement part of it says revenue has decreased. Listed support decreased by $270,000 compared to last year. Major donor decreased by $943,000. The total is actually more than that. The total came to $1.6 million difference. But then the financial dashboard is only showing a $50,000 difference. It's incomprehensible to me how they can reconcile those sets of figures. That's what I want to ask you if you had any information about.
Well, I mean, if you look at the comparison of the listener support, last year, 2019, we were 1.8 million. This year, we're 1.6. I mean, we're not that far off. I mean, we're off a little bit, but it's not that far.
It's 190,000. That's not insignificant. It took a lot more days to get there. But that's not what I'm asking about. I'm asking about, you know, if you add
Are you talking about total revenue?
Yes. The sheet I'm looking at is headline Pacifica Foundation Financial Narrative for April 2020.
Okay.
And lower on the page, it has the P&L information, which is what we're looking at now. And that's accurate. It says KPFK shows a decrease of $492,000 in terms of total revenue. And KPFK shows a decrease of $59,000 in total expenses. But when you look at the top where it says the financial dashboard, it has no comparison or no relationship to those figures whatsoever.
Okay. You have to talk to Meta about that. I don't know anything about that. They put that together.
Okay.
So.
All right.
So what you're saying, my thing, is that what they're saying in the narrative here does not agree with the financial statement as far as the difference in the numbers between last year and this year for revenue and expenses.
Well, the bottom part of the narrative agrees because it's based on the T&L. The top part makes no sense whatsoever. In any case, it's still the case that although listener support, in terms of revenue from the fund drives, is down about a little over 10%, which is not an insignificant drop. But total support, total revenue is down $500,000 almost, $492,000 year over year. So I just want to emphasize that there have to be dramatic cuts. $500,000, compared to, we're at 1.8 compared to 2.3.
Right.
And so that's going to be a lot more than, assuming about 65% of that is payroll. That's more than a 10% cut in payroll. That's why I say you have to look at cutting the places in the payroll that is not covered by the union, all the consultants, all the managers.
Yeah, well, that's why Anyel has proposed a 10% cut in the whole payroll for the whole station. And then he's also cut back on the independent contractors, too. So that should be a significant savings so we can get through this particular event that we're going through. So,
yeah, but as you said,
well,
a month ago, that has to be approved
by the union.
Yeah, I mean, you acknowledged a month or so ago that these declines were in effect before the COVID crisis hit. So,
yeah, that's true. You're right. Yeah.
All right.
I mean, I can't argue with the performance of the fund drive. I said that in a couple of my finance committee meetings that our fund drives are just underperforming. So I wish they could do better, but they're not.
Well, it's a vicious downward cycle because the more days you have, the lower the per day is. It's just a very, you can plot it on a graph. And extending this one, frankly, is, you know, you're not going to have a big influx of money if you extend past 30 days in the 31st or 32nd day.
Oh, yeah. Well, also, there's a good chance that we might get the PPP funding from the U.S., from the federal government. So hopefully that'll be a feather in our cap if we got that. So that would be very good. We could really get through it.
So just to say, because Stephen did raise it, we are trying to, at this point, to merge the idea of a development task force for the station with a national effort for one. I had some talks with Nancy Sorden from the Pacifica National Board, and we're talking about trying to do a donor campaign through our local boards and to individuals who can get us over this hump, particularly with the money that's owed to the CPB and making payroll next month or so.
Yeah, that was mentioned to me by Anyel, that he's trying to put together some kind of donor campaign to try to entice those donors that we have lost over the last 5 years. So it's pretty a significant amount. I think it's like 7,000 donors that they have not contributed to KPFK. So we're trying to address
that. The revenue reflects the decline in also the number of people who are responding to us and listening to us.
Exactly.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Anybody next?
Fred. Steve to Sack, please.
Fred, okay, I heard Steve first, then Fred. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Fred. I'll wait for you.
Okay. Do I have the floor, Kim?
Yes, go ahead, yes.
Okay. So there was, what, a 11% decrease in income this year over FY19. The problem is, of course, that the decrease in income after the corona crisis lockdown in March is really 50% now for the last 2 months. So I asked a question of Anil in an email a couple of weeks ago when I sent him the planning motion that we wanted to know what his plans were. There's really two possibilities here. If we get the loan, or if we don't get the loan. So he needs to plan for both situations. I certainly hope that we do get the government stimulus loan. But if we don't, we have to deal with the fact that the income at this point in time has collapsed 50% from what it was a year ago. And it seems we'll probably be continuing that. Probably be continuing that mode for who knows how many more months. We're all living through a situation that nobody planned on or could plan on. So this 10% reduction in salary that Anil is talking about seems to be inadequate to deal with the current situation. So maybe this will have to be put, this discussion will have to be put off until the LSB meets with Anil. Is it this coming weekend or the next weekend after that? Barry? Hello, am I on the call?
It's next weekend.
Sorry, Fred, I was on mute. I'm sorry. Yeah, I think the LSB meeting is supposed to be this weekend, Sunday.
So I guess I wanted to get your response to the fact that for the last 2 months, our income has collapsed 50% over previous income. And is there any...
That would be correct, yeah.
Is yourself and Anil trying to come up with plans to deal with that?
Yeah, we have been brainstorming about what we could do to, you know, cut back our expenses as much as we can without hampering our operations. And we've also talked about, you know, salary reduction, laying off people. We talked about a lot of different things. I've also mentioned to him that maybe we should change our programming strategy, that we should, you know, maybe pay less on premiums, and then more for community-based programming. So I've conveyed that to him. He's supposed to have some conversation with Kevin Fleming, our programming director, so we can change that. So that narrative can be changed, and we can, you know, change our direction, you know, to get more money coming in. We definitely need money, but this COVID-19 has really hurt us. I mean, we have no community events because of the COVID-19. We used to make some pretty good money with the community events with Richard Wolf and different people that would come in and speak. But we don't even have that income stream coming from that. So that's hurt us too. So yeah, we got to put everything on board and see what we can do to try to turn it around, turn the performance around.
Okay, Steve Kaiser. We please move quickly? We've got to move on.
But
I don't want to.
Right, Barry.
Kim, this is Kim for the queue. Kim, I'd like to be in the queue, please.
Okay.
Barry, why are you optimistic that we're going to get this PPP loan? Is that something that Lydia conveyed to you? Is something in the works that you're optimistic about it?
Yeah, I talked to Tamara yesterday, and she had talked to somebody at the bank, and they verified that there was two different applications that were being submitted to the federal government which got them confused.
Right.
About getting our money. So they reconcile, they realize that the two applications were put in and that the other one was not valid and that our application was true and valid and should be dealt with. So she seemed pretty optimistic that we might be getting our money. So that's a good thing.
Okay.
I hope so.
Indeed it is. What exactly do the contractors do, the independent contractors, the outside help?
What they do is they come in and they help out with the programming, not necessarily doing fund drive, but just regular programming. They'll come in and do, like Tony Bates will come in and do host work, hosting work, you know, host a show, and that's how he gets paid. Another way in which we used to do it was Maggie used to do like food preparation for the fund drives, and so she would sometimes get paid for that, and I would pay her through the independent contractor category for her.
Okay.
So,
has any thought been put in about doing away with our pension plan? Who all does that cover?
No, I've never heard that mentioned in all the conversations that I've had with Meta and some of the people in the National Finance Committee meeting. So, no, I've never heard anybody doing away with the pension retirement plan.
Who's covered by the pension plan?
Right.
Pardon me?
What's that?
Who is covered by the pension plan? Is it just a handful of people, the senior?
Yeah, it's all the people who are on the union.
And how many is that?
I think it's about 23, I think, 24 around there.
Are we prevented from eliminating the pension plan? Is there any reason to that we cannot suspend contributions to that?
I don't think that would go well for, you know, over with the union. So I don't know if you could do that arbitrarily, just eliminate it. So
it's in place and it's
working, and they are making contributions to it.
Well, I know we're making contributions to it, but we lack funds. And also, I want to ask you about Aniel's plan to bring back 7,000 contributors. Is this a matter of sending letters to them or calling them up? Or can you flesh that out any?
You'd have to talk to him about that, but I think it is involved with, like, you know, cold calling and also writing letters, yeah.
Well, we've done cold calling before like that about 5 or 6 years ago. I think, Bella, you were part of that, and it got like one or two people.
I did it before. I'm doing it now. He did have lists. It's not exactly cold calling, but he has a script, and he's been giving people lists. He invited me to join, and I did a round of calls a week or so ago, and it said I could do some more, but I haven't heard back from him. But
Bella to the stack.
it did produce some response.
Okay. Can we move on? Wanger's next. Thank you. Wanger?
These thoughts are predicated on what Fred said and what Steve just said. And that is that given that no one can predict the course of the COVID pandemic and the impact on the various shutdown and therefore the impact upon our revenues, I suggest, and I don't have a motion yet, but I'm kind of germinating one in my mind, that that the LSB ask and yell to essentially enter into discussions with the union to make things more flexible. Steve addressed it a little bit, like could we stop going into making payments into the pension plan? Well, ordinarily the answer would be from the union would be hell no. But if they are faced with the idea of asking their employees, well, what do you want? You know, do you guys want to have massive layoffs, or would you like to forego doing this? The pandemic, the COVID crisis, to hold off on pension things. Would you rather get paid now, or do you want to just have survival, play the game of survival, and some people stay and some people go? That's going to impact the operations of the stations, and Aniel does have a good understanding of operations. So it seems to me that the plan going forward, the proposal to the union should be dynamic and say, well, given if our revenues are down, let's say, by X percent, then we propose that we reduce the salaries by X percent, or maybe an alternative. We put a total hold on pensions and see where we are, and then reduce the salaries by X percent so that it matches our income, our revenues. So, it would really be great if Aniel had been here, to talk to us about his plan, because we have on this finance committee, a lot of people are pretty interested in the finances, and I can tell you from my experience on the LSB that many people on the LSB, are not, how should we say this kindly, not strongly financially oriented. So, it's a lost opportunity that Aniel didn't make this plan here. I was making a note of that. I really wish that he had. And so please regard my comments, I guess, as a request for comment, because I think we're in an emergency situation. My personal take on this is that the coronavirus is going to have a, we're going to have a big uptake. I follow this stuff. I study this stuff as part of my job. I spend an hour or two a day studying COVID because I'm in a high risk category. And the modeling shows, so that the case shows that California, New York has had a decline. Texas is going flat. California has been at a continual slight increase in the number of cases per week.
That's true.
And deaths have been going flat. But that was before we had these George Floyd demonstrations, and they didn't happen uniformly everywhere. Out in Montana, they didn't have any, but here in L.A., we had a lot of them. We had them in San Diego, too. We had them in our and we had them in our fundraising areas, and so did the New York, and so did the Bay Area. So we can therefore expect that there's going to be a lot of transmission of the coronavirus due to the George Floyd demonstrations, and therefore there's going to be an uptick in cases. And if that's true, then there's going to be a further decrease in income due to the increase in the COVID disease. So we can expect this logically, and therefore I ask that Aniel's plan take that into account, and therefore part of that plan would be to make the discussion with the union dynamic to deal with what I'm predicting as the decrease in revenue due to the increase in coronavirus. And so the request should not just be, we need a 10%. It should be a dynamic thing. And frankly, the employees should be asked how would they like to have that implemented? Would they prefer to just to have cuts in heads or to forego, as Steve suggests, pension plan reductions and then to have the salary reduced? My hunch is they would prefer that, but I haven't asked them. So consider this a request for comment. I'll have a motion, but I'd like to hear the comments and the thoughts on this, because I think it's an important issue, because it really goes to survival of the station.
Bella and the staff.
I'm done.
I got a text from Janine. She'd like to be on the stack. So, Janine, you have the floor.
Welcome, Janine.
A woman that just spoke for a long time.
John Wenger just spoke. Alan, this was John Wenger. I just spoke for quite a while. I hadn't spoken at all until now, so I took a little extra time. But it's a big idea.
Yeah. Steve to the stack, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, after Janine and Bella. Go ahead, Janine.
So, hi, everyone. Sorry, I was kind of late to the party here, and I apologize. But I do think that unions can work around given circumstances, especially if it's between that and having to have layoffs. So I think that that's a worthwhile approach. I had mentioned in the board email an idea about podcasters. Unfortunately, I work freelance, and I had to leave town the end of last week, but I am still putting together a list of people that would be interested in either rebroadcasting their podcasts, and these are popular Los Angeles podcasts, or doing a short show, you know, once a week on the station, and that could be used to publicize sort of like Fresh Faces or something like that. I didn't realize programming would come up during this meeting, but I just wanted to make sure. I actually was curious what the steps are after, let's say I get a proposal together and I have podcasters that are interested. What are the odds that Anyel would be able to take a look at this early next week? So that we wouldn't have to wait until next month to be able to get some feedback about it.
Janine, can I make a suggestion, please, to email
sure.
Kevin, the PD, and Anyel together. Ask them. We can't set Kevin and Anyel's schedule. Just take and email them. If you don't have them, I'll give them to you, and ask them. That's who you should ask.
Okay, and then just keep the board on the email. Do that.
Hello?
With proposing the people.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
We really need to move on to the motion that's next, the budget motion.
Bella's on the staff.
Go ahead, Bella. Make it short, please.
Thank you. But you allowed everyone else to take a lot of time.
I know, but you've spoken more than others, Bella.
No, I haven't. I've spoken very short. Very short.
Go ahead, please.
Okay.
Please.
Thank you. All right. Now, I want to agree with Steve because I was on that very small task. Calling on expired subscribers, and we came up with, and we were working from a template, yes, and asking questions. So I came to the station, me and a couple of other people. We are very few. Steve was there from the task force that was formed then. So we need to keep that going. It's not just the way that Anyel has been trying to concentrate on certain donors, but it has to be a blown-up effort. Now, as far as what John Wenger just spoke of, a few days ago, I sent a startling article from The New Yorker. You may have seen it. I sent it to everybody, as many people as possible, regarding the results that we are going to be seeing, and we are already seeing, right now, the spikes of the coronavirus in our communities because of the huge demonstrations. Having said that, I submitted a minority report, both publicly. I wrote it during the time at the outreach committee meeting 3 months ago, and then in recent time to the personnel, and then it went directly to the LSB for a vote. My minority report was insisting on the reduction of at least $700,000 for the salary, elimination of a number of people, and eliminating the union contracts. The union know very well, and every other station, even NPR has been doing it, KCRW, and KPCC. So, having said that, if we are not going that route right now, this is the perfect opportunity. We are not going to survive. We simply cannot survive. There is nothing in the horizon from the general manager that is going to shift us out of this. The other issue is that we must instill and do radical programming changes, and I welcome Janine's offers, but that's only part of the puzzle. We need to radically change our local programming in order to, in tandem, put forward a program with many elements going forward. Thank you.
Well said, Bella.
Steve, you're last on the stack. Can you make it short, please? I'd like to move on to this next motion.
I just want to look briefly about the pension situation again. Wouldn't that be covered just by union members?
This is out of our purview, Steve. This is out of our purview.
All right.
I'll let it go.
Go ahead.
Okay. So let's move on to this motion about the budget. Have you all read it? Is there any I'll take a stack on it?
No.
Any objections?
I did not have time to review it.
Anybody?
What's objectionable that we should have had a budget 2 months ago?
Was this what Barry said today?
Let me just interject something. There was a budget submitted to the LSB back in December of 2019 for fiscal year 2020. Okay? So that was submitted by NEO.
No. Say that again, Barry.
There was a fiscal year 2020 budget submitted by NEO back in December of 2019 at the LSB meeting.
2021. My mistake. First draft 2021 budget. I apologize for my mistake.
So this is 2021.
We're looking for, yes.
Yeah, the next fiscal year.
Yes, starting now. We start in June, and so we'd like to see a first draft in July. And the rest of it.
Last year, we don't usually start the budget process until the end of July.
I started in March. I made this motion, and this is, I'd like to see a first draft in July. Is there a stack? Any conversation about this? Any objections?
Where do I sign this budget? Where is it?
Yeah, where is the
motion on the agenda? You all have it in your email.
Number six. The agenda does not have a budget in it.
No, it doesn't.
No, we're not approving a budget. One person at a time, please.
Michael, to the stack.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so, Alan, it's a motion to request a draft budget proposal from management in July for the upcoming fiscal year.
Okay.
The fiscal year that begins October 1.
Okay. Item 6 on the agenda.
There's no budget. Correct. It's a motion to ask for that. And just to clarify, normally that process begins much sooner, because it's got to go through the LSB and then to the National Finance Committee and be integrated with budgets from all the other stations and approved in a single budget document by the PNB. All of it's supposed to take place before the end of the fiscal year. So we're already behind the eight ball on it. We need to get started as soon as possible.
Thank you.
Anybody else? We ready to vote?
Yes.
I'll take any objections.
Can you repeat what we're voting on exactly? I'm unclear.
The motion about the budget, it's number 6 on the agenda.
Okay. Thank you.
I think this motion calls for some things that are impossible, but I'm not going to object to passing the motion.
Thank you very much, Alan. With the correction, Grace, that it's the 2021 budget.
Not 2020. Obviously, that's already passed.
That's right.
Was it? So it's just, you know, motion for the 2021 budget. Okay. Any objections? So this is approved by unanimous consent?
Yep.
All right. Well, miracles do happen. Thank you very much, everyone. And Janine, can you put this on the agenda for the LSB meeting?
Governance Committee.
Governance.
Bella's right. It goes to governance next.
I'll send it to Michelle and Janine because she's the chair. And okay, thank you very much. The next one is Fred Report from the NFC. I would like to make a comment first. I was very confused to hear last night on the NFC a motion come up that was supposedly from the Finance Committee. I had never heard of that motion, and I wonder where that motion came from because it did not come from this Finance Committee. So what's going on?
Well,
so give us the
those of us who weren't on that call,
Fred
can you say what the motion is?
Can Fred respond? The motion that there were two motions on the agenda of the MC last night. One was from James Surgaton of the chair of the National Finance Committee and a director from WBAI in New York. And a second motion was from Chris Corey, the director from KPFA in Berkeley. So
okay.
Okay. And I
give us.
So the motion is rather long. I can actually send you a copy of the two motions that were passed by the NFC last night. I got this from I'll send it to you right now. This is from R. Paul Martin. He sent it out to the NFC last night after the meeting. So I'm going to forward it now to the local finance committee of KPFK.
It would have been helpful to have this language earlier on.
Bella, you're not on the stack, please.
And you're not recognized. Bella, you're not recognized.
You allow other people to speak up.
No, I'm not. Bella, please
stop. Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
I'm going to mute you. I'm going to mute you. And if you want to get on the stack, please text me. Fred, the issue is that James and you said it came from the Finance Committee. It did not come from the Finance Committee, and I am really uncomfortable with that. It's not a motion I ever would have passed. And why was it characterized as the coming from the Finance Committee, which nobody on this Finance Committee has ever heard of? Why? What
you
happened? Please,
Kim,
explain.
You want to make a big stink about this? You can. Basically,
yes, I'm really uncomfortable.
Why didn't you just make the motion yourself, Fred? Hold on, Okay, I've got the motion up here. It's a long motion. It was a discussion that took place yesterday, multiple phone calls between members of the National Finance Committee, and James Surgaton put it forwards. This motion was initiated by myself and other people at the national level. So you want me to read this motion, Kim, so people know what we're talking about?
No, just please send it out. Send it out.
I sent it out a minute ago. You should be receiving it.
That's fine. The issue is that why you didn't say it was a motion from you and some other people, but characterized it as coming from the Finance Committee, which it did not.
Because
you mean our local?
Kim, if you want to make a big stink about this, I was tired at the point, at that point in time. And we'd had a long, grueling discussion about this motion. I'm going to read the three most important paragraphs,
no,
which are the
don't.
Therefore
please
at the
don't.
End of this
well.
Motion. May I read the three?
What's the point? That issue is not the motion. That issue is mischaracterizing it as coming from this committee and not from you and some other people who are may or may not be on this committee, but to choose
well,
not to identify
Kim,
themselves.
Well, Kim, I'm not
going
to answer you any further. I've given you an explanation. If that's
okay,
not
fine.
Good enough for you, fine.
I will write
you want,
on
you
behalf
wanna,
of
you
the
wanna,
Finance Committee.
You want to censor me? Fine.
No. On the behalf of the Finance Committee, I'm going to write them and say it did not come from the Finance Committee. We never heard of that motion. But what else can I do? It was a mistake, and people questioned it as coming from the Finance Committee, and here we are. We're questioning it. We've never seen it. I don't like that kind of mischaracterization. Anyways, let's move on. Fred, do you have any other report?
Well, I'm gonna read the three paragraphs of this motion so people know what we're talking about. Okay?
I appreciate that. Yes.
Are you going to let me do that, Kim?
It's not germane, but go ahead.
I think it's germane. Basically, the beginning paragraphs of the motion describes the financial crisis at KPFK. And therefore, the solution, therefore, be it resolved that the significant expense cuts be made at KPFK as soon as possible. These cuts should be at least 30% of expenses. At least 30% expenses must be at least less than income, as there is no resources to cover any shortfalls. Further, all units, including the national office, that have expenses that exceed income on a regular basis should provide a plan to the NFC, the PNB, and the management team and the IED to decrease expenses within 1 week. If a station's expenses are exceeding its income by 10%, the plan should show a decrease of 10%. As KPFK is currently running a $150,000 per month deficit, it is absolutely urgent that expense cuts be made immediately at that station. Other fundraising plans should be encouraged, but they should not be able to cover, but they would not be able to cover shortfalls of that magnitude. Thus, substantial expense cuts are unavoidable. So the NFC is looking at the financial crisis in Pacifica. And,
this is crazy.
And this has to be done urgently, because you can't just keep on running up bills and debts and expect there not to be consequences.
At issue is not the motion. At issue is saying it came from the Finance Committee, Fred.
I'm sorry you're...
Grace
you're,
is
I'm
on
sorry,
the
stack.
Go ahead, Grace.
I'm sorry you're hurt by that. The second motion that
hurt.
Was passed
I
by the NFC... Thank you. The second motion
Grace,
that was passed
ahead.
By the NFC last
yeah,
night
I
had to do with
Fred.
NIDA. Who's speaking?
I
thank
under,
you, Fred.
Not
Fred.
Having to do with the authorization or the authoring of this motion, I do believe that the Finance Committee has been suggesting significant expense cuts at KPFK. However, I'd like to say that I listened to the National Finance Committee meeting last night, and this motion passed 9 in favor. I think there was one abstention. No one opposed it. So I think that across the network it is understood that if we don't make significant expense cuts at KPFK, we will probably lose our building. The reason we'll lose our building is because there's a bankruptcy clause
in the loan, so we can't go into bankruptcy. If we can't make payroll at KPFK or at other stations, there are no reserves. If we don't get any PPP funding, we will be forced to liquidate an asset in order to meet payroll. It's not legal to refuse to pay staff if you have assets that can be liquidated. So it's absolutely urgent. We're running a $150,000 a month deficit at KPFK. There's, a $20,000 a month deficit at WBAI and probably another $10,000 or $20,000 a month deficit at WPFW. This kind of negative financial information, financial situation is not tenable. It's not guaranteed that we're going to get any stimulus money. I hope we do, but we may not. Nevertheless, even if we get stimulus money, we can run through a huge amount of money before we're able to get us to a place where our income exceeds our expenses. So this is absolutely urgent that we do this and that the other stations start to consider cuts.
Can I get on the stack to ask Fred a question?
Tomorrow night, also for approval, I believe. I think that there's going to be a PNB meeting tomorrow night. But the financial situation at Pacifica is very dire. The the payables at the national office are over $500,000. We owe NETA $206,000.
Get on the stack?
It's a very bad situation, and expense cuts are long overdue and absolutely necessary, in my opinion.
Can I get on the stack to ask Fred a question?
Is this Alan? Is that Alan?
Yes. Can I get on the stack to ask Fred a question?
In 1 minute, I hear Alan and I hear Steve Kaiser. I just want to say one thing. Grace, why didn't you put your name and Fred's name on that motion? Because it certainly sounds like your language. You and Fred put your own names on that motion? I don't understand that.
Bella to the staff.
Go ahead, Alan.
Fred, about a month ago, I sent around some emails raising a furor about that $4 million loan that is threatening us in 10 months now. And Grace Aaron responded saying that it was silly to get so excited that short-term loans or bridge loans could get us past that $4 million. And that was something comparable to getting a loan on your car. It was not difficult. Now more than a month has gone by, and no new loans have appeared. Can you tell me, Fred, if there is any talk at the higher levels of Pacifica Finance about actually getting any such loans?
This is Grace. I can respond to that. Fred doesn't want to.
All I'm going to say is that the interim executive director, Lydia Bazone, has been working full-time on that for the last month. And Grace, as a director, can say more.
I be recognized?
Get familiar with the way you talk.
Yeah, sorry, I was on mute. Go ahead, Grace.
Lydia has applied for an EIDL loan, E-I-D-L loan. That's a stimulus loan through California for $2.4 million. Hopefully we'll get that, and hopefully we'll get some PPP funding. The PPP funding I think we're asking for is $1.4 million. That's most of that is forgivable if it's used for payroll and for mortgage or rent. The $2.4 million loan is not forgivable. It's at a low interest rate. It's a 2.5% interest rate amortized over 30 years. It's an excellent, excellent loan with low qualifications.
were no qualifications. But at any rate, the bulk of that or a significant amount of that will be used to pay off the $3.2 million loan, which is, of course, at a much higher interest rate. So that's one plan. Seeking a refinance of the $3.2 million loan would be silly before we get our 2018 audit done, which there's already a draft almost ready, and the audit committee is going to be reviewing 2018 audit on Monday night, and it will be reviewed by the national board on next Thursday, a week from tomorrow night. So it's better if looking for refinance to have our audits almost up to date.
Who's the company, Grace, that's doing the EIDL loan? What financial institution is doing that?
The EIDL loan is stimulus money through the state of California. I believe it's federal money, but it's coming through California. I'm not exactly sure, but it's money. $2.4 million is what we're asking for. That's the maximum amount that can be granted for that type of
money.
EIDL, you can look it up. Just to clarify something, the contract we had with the Empire State Realty Trust, in that contract, they were allowed to charge us 9% interest plus penalties and fees if we were in arrears on payment to them. We owed them over $5 million. They were charging us over 9% interest per year on that money. Okay, we got a loan that started at 7.5%, and that is a $3.2 million loan. Nobody else has suggested a solution better than that. Bankruptcy would have been far worse, in the opinion of the National Board and the opinion of anyone who is sensible. We took a course that's not ideal, but nobody else came out with a better solution. So now we have to deal with a $3.2 million loan. But it, because it is a collateralized loan, collateralized by real estate that is extremely valuable, there will be no problem in refinancing it, because the refinance is not based on our business model at all. It is based on the collateral that we're putting up. Because we are not creditworthy, we'll have to pay a higher interest rate. The National Board passed a resolution that any windfall money that comes into Pacifica, such as bequests, anything that comes into the national office, 50% will be used to pay down the principal of the $3.2 million loan. If there's windfall bequest money going to a station, a minimum of 30% will be used to pay down the $3.2 million loan. That's a national policy that was passed about 2 months ago.
Em, am I next?
No, I am next.
Em, are you there?
Sorry, I put myself on mute. Go ahead, Steve.
Okay.
I was before Steve.
Bella. I'll be brief.
Go ahead, Steve.
Okay, thank you. Grace, did you say, in the WBAI loan, wasn't the KPFK building one of the pieces of the real estate that was securing that? And if so, is it vulnerable to being seized by our lack of payments here?
We are current on our interest payments.
Okay, but that makes the KPFK building vulnerable to somebody else taking it instead of the people that hold the WBAI loan?
There's no WBAI loan.
Well, I mean the $3.2 million.
The $3.2 million loan was taken out to satisfy a settlement
right. With
the Empire State Realty Trust.
Right, and they hold the KPFK building as one of the assets there, collateralized, right?
Correct.
Okay, so is the KPFK building vulnerable to somebody else taking it? You said we'd lose our building. Would it be to this loan?
If we can't make payroll, we have a deficit right now of $150,000 a month. Our last two months' income has been $150,000 a month, just about. We need $300,000 a month to meet our expenses at KPFK, which means we're running a $150,000 a month deficit. There are deficits also at WBAI of approximately $20,000 a month, and a similar deficit, I believe, at WPFW, although I don't know the exact amount. This is about a $200,000 deficit. Only KPFA currently is making central service payments of any significant amount. KPFK owes about five central service payments. I think it was what I heard was last. We owe $184,000 in central service payments, although I think Barry indicated that it's about $140,000.
Okay.
We're about $140,000 in arrears or something like that at the current moment.
If we can't make the payroll,
that's correct.
Or the federal government going to take the building?
Payroll, we will be forced to sell an asset.
Okay, thank you. Now I understand.
Okay.
It seems to me that Leslie Radford cut the wages in half about 4 years ago when we were in a similar position. Is 10% reduction in pay appropriate at this point, or should we talk about something much larger that she instituted when she needed to?
The motion last night called for 30% reduction.
Okay, great. And one last thing. Isn't it time for us
to specify? It says expenses.
Okay, great. One last point. Isn't it time for us to approach well-heeled people and ask them to rescue us, not only here but in the other cities? Entertainment people, get with them and see if there's some really good big money out there that might be interested in seeing the survival of Pacifica. And I'm done. Thank you.
For the record, Steve, Leslie Radford got sued by SAG-AFTRA Union for doing what she did and lost, just for the record.
And KPFK had to pay a settlement to them?
Yes.
Do you know, in terms of the settlement, how much that was?
No. And there was a penalty, too. It's complicated. We can talk about it offline.
All right.
Bella. Who's next?
Thank you. Steve, yes, good questions, but yes, we are vulnerable all around. Okay, now, my minority report calls for strict reductions, huge reductions. I do not believe those reductions translate into just a 30% across the board. I believe that translates into a much higher reduction, and I was very specific. And I cautioned that the contracts with the unions were not to be renewed before October 2020. And I believe that this is what is being attempted. Now I hear the alarming number that we have about 23 people on the union contract. This is unheard of. This is not what I anticipated. And this is not what I had been informed of earlier on. So we are running a greater risk still. Now, there are many people that are on the payroll. They're not at the station. They're doing minimal work. It is the perfect opportunity for us to assess where these people fit in. And I appreciate Kim's motion being very scrutinized about this because we need to get their titles, their responsibilities. We have got to, number one, eliminate the union contract. I am not a union buster, but the unions understand that we cannot survive at this stage, and the GM is not going to get us there. We have got to be very, very, what is the word, radical about what we need to do right away. We have got to reduce everything immediately, and the outside contractors as well. These are people that should not be on that classification. Some of them need to be, not all of them. Okay, thanks.
Anyone else for the stack, or can we move on to the final motion or the next motion? All right. Well, for the record, I will write the MFC and the PNB and say that motion did not come from the Finance Committee. And I would appreciate in the future to, if you have your own motion, please go ahead and present them, but not from this committee when it didn't come from here. Okay, so the next motion.
This motion, the reason why they presented this motion or motion is because they were already being formulated in this committee earlier on. But I agree with you. But I agree with you in principle. I agree with you in principle.
I don't know why Fred and Grace couldn't put their own names on it. Period.
Yes.
End of story.
I agree with you in principle.
Okay, let's move on. So the next motion is the Finance Committee approved the following motion. It's the May 13th Finance Committee request for a fund drive chart from management for the rest of the year and a plan for how to pay the expenses for the rest of the year. The LSB approved the motion at the May 17th LSB meeting, and the GM said he would comply with it. The GM has not complied with it. The Finance Committee recommends the KPFK LSB take note of this noncompliance and handle it accordingly. The LSB is in charge of doing evaluations of the GM. I just want them to be aware that the motion they passed has not been complied with. The reason for my motion is I wanted a fund drive chart before this fund drive. And in fact, Barry told us that he had estimated getting $27,000 a day, which of course is absolutely ridiculous. I've been asking for a fund drive chart since last October. And that's why the revenue has crashed, because they were overestimating how much per day they were going to get, and it was obvious that they were not going to get that money, and yet persisted month after month. You know, to blame any of this on COVID, I'm not buying it, because KPFK was done. As of March 6th, or whenever that last fund drive was, after running it for 90 days, the first half of the year, and per day was about $15,000, they were done. They cannot raise more money from the public in doing what they've been doing year after year after year after year. I've been talking about the increased fund drive days for a decade. And obviously, it has been ignored. The last 2 years have ballooned exponentially. And now we're in a crisis. This fund drive, it didn't start March 19th. It started April,
right,
and then it went through May on Memphis, and then transferred over. So this is going to be a 6 or 7 week fund drive. We're collapsed because of our practices for the last many years. Anyways,
Kim, don't forget 38 million people lost their jobs.
That's irrelevant, Barry, to what I just spoke to. As of March 6th, you could no longer raise the money you needed from the public. And that was before all this happened. Okay, you were done. You were done. 90 days in the first half of the year, times two was 180 days a year. And you still could not make... You had to stop $150,000 short of your goal. This is, you hit the wall. You hit the wall. What I've been saying for a decade, you finally hit the wall. You can't do it anymore. I don't know what you're going to do, but, you know, that's your job. So, any a stack on this motion?
Could Fred make any comments?
This is Alan B. May I ask a question?
Yes, go ahead, Alan.
Where can I read this motion that we are being asked to vote on?
On your agenda.
It's number 8.
I don't see it. Well, the number 8 doesn't have the motion. It just says approve minutes.
Then it's before that. Oh, well, maybe you're reading the first draft. I sent out a second draft, and I add this in the second draft. Because I wanted to address this.
This is a motion of 5 parts from Kim.
No, we already approved that. It's probably, it's in a later, can somebody send him the second draft, please?
No, it's number eight.
It, your, Alan.
It was
no,
your number
he's
eight.
Reading the first draft of the agenda.
Well,
number
in
eight.
Words, the answer is I can go to my email and I will find it.
Yes. Number eight draft.
Stop, Bella, stop. You're not on the stack. You don't have the floor.
Is your draft is number
stack?
Eight?
Stop, Fred, Bella. Stop it.
Can Fred be ready?
May I speak? This is John. May I speak?
Fred,
Kim.
And I heard Wenger. Go ahead, Fred, and then I heard Wenger.
I just want to correct.
1:02 p.m.
John, you don't have the floor. What I'm saying is that you're incorrect, Kim. What we're in is a continuous fund drive. It's never stopping. It's a low-key fund drive. They're not, not every program is pitching. And of course, as I keep on saying is we're in a crisis because we're only bringing in $150,000 a month, or we can look at it as $150,000 a month deficit.
I don't oppose
your amendment or your motion. I support it because all it does is remind the LSB that they passed a motion. I sent that motion to the general manager and business manager, and you're sort of right. Basically, Aniel said he would respond with a plan shortly. He still hasn't, but. In any case, that's all I have to say.
All right, thank you. Wenger?
Yeah, the information that Alan is asking for is your email, which has the subject line called, it's at 1:02 p.m. today, revised agenda, Finance Committee, June 10th meeting. And when you open it up, it says that it's the second draft agenda.
Okay, thank you. Any other discussion?
Bella to the staff.
Go ahead, Bella.
Is your revised agenda number 8?
Shit.
Yes.
Thank you. Are we ready to vote? Any objections to the motion?
Can you read it, please?
No, I just did.
Oh, you did, yes.
Any objections? All right, so it passed unanimously. Okay, thank you. So next on the agenda is dealing with Alan's notes. As I said, I'm going to be the secretary. I don't know what y'all want to do with these notes. There's just a lot of corrections I would have to go through and correct them before, you know, doing whatever. But they're not minutes.
Kim, they're not accurate either.
What does the body want to do?
They're not accurate
no,
either, and
they're
confused.
Not. Yeah, and I mean, I need to go over them and redline them and make corrections in order to even approve them, so I don't know what the body wants to do. I'll put you on the stack. We're going to have minutes going forward. What do we want to do with the rest of this?
Kim, a suggestion?
No, Bella's next, and I'll put you on the stack, Wenger. Go ahead, Bella.
Yes, I was going to respond to Alan. Can somebody be muted or whatever? Okay, I was going to respond to Alan when he submitted this motion. But it would have taken a long time.
That's the next motion. We're not on that motion. We're on number 9, approving the notes from the last meetings.
Oh, excuse me. I sent you the minutes I prepared with a lot of clarity. I took into account some of the notes that Alan took. As well, I don't know if you had a chance to look them over, They looked more comprehensive, but I submitted that to you. That's all I wanted to say. In the meantime, the minute the way Alan prepared them, I cannot okay them.
Okay, anyone else?
I was in the queue, wasn't I?
Yes, sorry. Go ahead, Wenger.
Yeah, sorry. Somebody started up a motor outside here. I basically would just suggest that why don't we defer decision on this right now? You said you'd look them over. Why don't you look them over and then get back to us on the whole thing here? Because without studying them, it's impossible to make a decision.
Okay.
That's all.
So is that a motion to postpone until next month?
To table.
Or sooner. Jake, I'm agreeable to anything you want to do with it.
Well,
Alan to the stack.
Okay, Alan, go ahead.
Well, I would like to know, Wenger, Novick had some comments about those draft minutes, and I would like to suggest that it be assigned to him to rewrite the minutes so they are acceptable and correct, and then resubmit them to the next meeting.
I go with that.
Who is the he?
What are you asking, Alan? Alan?
Is somebody waiting for me?
Yes. Can you repeat what you said?
I said I propose that we turn it over to Michael to rewrite and make it correct and appropriate.
Michael?
Michael, would you like to take on that task?
Michael, why would Michael do that?
Because he criticized it already. He's looked at it and he has ideas about
it.
I think he knows how to make it right.
He's not on the call, so it's not an option.
I am the one that rewrote them.
Point of order. Could the chair please take control of the meeting and stop the crosswalk?
Okay, what would you like me to do? We're just,
at the point of order, it's just like core orders of the day. Let's run the meeting and get on to the next thing we have to vote on. Or just call a vote. That's all.
All right. I don't have anything to vote on. I mean, trying to determine if Wenger made a motion to postpone it until next month. And that's where I'm at, because there's no motion here. It was just a discussion of what to do in these minutes or notes for 5 minutes. We passed that time. What do you want to postpone it to next month?
I say yes.
Okay.
That's fine.
Postpone. Okay.
Table.
Any objections?
Table. Yes. No.
Okay. Bella objects.
No, I do not object.
The motion is to postpone until next month. Is there any objection to that? Okay, no objection. Okay. The final thing is Alan Beek's long and complicated motion, which I don't understand. It's not germane. I don't know what to do with it. He asked me to put on the agenda. It's here. What does the body want to do? Please tell me. I'll take a stack.
Bella to the stack.
Go ahead, Bella.
I will yield to anyone else before me.
Anybody?
If you do
want
to consider it, I would like to make some little changes in it. But you may not want to consider it at all. I'll hold back and wait.
I do not, Alan. I'm sorry. I do not. It's not germane. It's complicated. We already passed a motion about a budget process, and I think it's
interfacing with the listeners is what it's about, not about a budget. His motion on the continual town hall.
That's
no.
not what's on the agenda, Steve. Read the agenda.
Okay, my
mistake. It's the last long, complicated series, all of them actually need to be separate motions.
Confused.
And I'm not, personally, you know, we can take it apart and vote on each one or take a vote. Yes or no? Who's
Bella please? to the staff. Bella to the staff.
Go ahead, Bella.
So,
John into the queue.
All right.
Yeah. So when I wrote this motion, I realized not only is it convoluted, it's misguided, because we have heard enough proof of where we need the chart that we need to, the course of the chart that we need to get on right now, and that is to reduce all of our expenditures.
Bella, please. Let me just say, we agree with that. What do you want me to do? Can we vote?
I'm sorry. Yes. I vote that we do not vote on this. We
have to vote on it. Are we ready to vote on it?
Yes, I call the vote.
What does the body want to do? Are you ready for a vote?
Yes.
Vote.
Excuse me, Fred?
I said vote.
Okay. So who...
I think John was on the stack yet.
If that...
Oh, sorry, Wenger.
Alan on the stack.
Yeah, I was going to propose... Is it time for me to speak now?
Sure.
I was going to propose that we table it because it is convoluted, and Alan may want to try to clarify it to meet some of the concerns which have been expressed.
I'd like to vote it down, and he can do whatever he wants for the next meeting, I personally.
Okay, I'm fine with that. Go ahead and call the vote.
Yes.
I think Alan wanted...
Somebody else was on the stack.
Alan.
Go ahead, Alan.
I have no objection to tabling it.
Well, tabling, nobody made a recommendation to table it.
I thought I heard a motion to table it.
No,
that was the previous motion.
Okay. If we are going to discuss it and consider it, I want to make some amendments to improve it quite a bit.
All right.
I know we voted up or down.
What is up? Correct.
Yes.
And if you want to fix it for next time, I can't stop you. This is not a helpful track, Alan. But let's vote on this. Grace, how do you vote? Grace
is not on the line right now. We'll get
yes, she is. Well, I mean, her name is here. Okay, Ken, how do you vote?
Abstain.
Okay. Alan Beek, how do you vote?
No.
Okay. Fred Blair?
No.
Bella DeSoto?
No.
Dave Johnson?
No.
Steve Kaiser?
I'm going to abstain.
Okay. Kim Kaufman votes no. Michelle Malinoff's not here. Michael Novick, I think he's gone. Janine? Are you here?
I don't see her.
Oh, well, Pauline is gone. Yeah. Pauline is gone. Wenger.
No.
Okay, so it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 no and 2 abstain. Unless there's anything else, we've covered the agenda. Anything else or can
Fred,
we adjourn?
Fred to be recognized.
Go ahead, Fred.
I move we adjourn.
Okay. Bella wants
any
to
objection?
Say something. Well,
no,
Bella...
He made a motion to adjourn. That's not debatable. Any objections to adjourning? Okay, we're done. Thank you very much. I know this was a long meeting. Hopefully I'll do better next time.
Thank you for sticking with this.
Thank you, Kim. You did a great job.
Kim, you did very well. I really enjoyed the way you ran the meeting.
Yeah, thank you for keeping it going so well.
Yeah. I agree, Kim.
Thank
good
you
job.
Thank you very much. Okay. Yeah.